that was such a wake-up call for me, because I was thinking, you know, with this skill that I have, I can help so many people. But what I started realizing is a lot of people didn't value what I was presenting to them.
Can you say that out loud, please, so that they can hear you?
Yeah, I was doing videos as a massage therapist. Yeah. Like, when I started MyRenew and it started kind of being somewhat successful, I was on Instagram. So or on social media in a sense. So I said to myself, like, I can't stop this social media, because if I stop social media, nobody's going to know who I am. I'm not going to have any business. Like, my business is going to go to crap. And that's not necessarily the case. You know, people didn't come to me because of my social media following. Yeah, they might have arrived here, but they stayed for the value that I was providing them. And that's something I didn't see. I didn't understand that until I got off of social media.
This is Maestro on the Mic,
a podcast designed to help you change your mindset and your life.
It is time for something new.
Join host Dr. Shante Cofield, also known as the Movement Maestro, on a journey to see the bigger picture.
Open your eyes.
Find your passion.
And discover how movement unites us all.
Let's get it poppin'.
This is Maestro on the Mic. I'm the Maestro, and you're about to get maestrified.
3, 2, 1.
Hey guys, Maestro here, coming at you live with another episode of Maestro on the Mic. Today I have with me not a physical therapist, but an athletic trainer. I brought on Dr. Treesworth before, and I was like, you know what? I need to bring in an ATC that's in the trenches, has his own company, doing the damn thing. And lo and behold, one crossed my path at Danny Matei's mastermind, and I was like, Andy, I gotta get you on the podcast. So like I said, he's an ATC. He's also a licensed massage therapist. He has his own company, and he's gonna talk to you about, let's call it, the darker side of social media. We got a ton of awesome stuff coming for you this episode. So without further ado, welcome to the show, my dude, Andy, thanks for joining us.
Hey, Shante, appreciate you having me on your show here. Hey, guys, you guys are doing a great job. If you guys haven't just pulled out a notebook, do that so, because you guys are going to learn a lot. And make sure that you guys continue to follow Shante, because what she's bringing to the table, into our profession, is really valuable.
My dude, that is the first time, I've done 100-something episodes, that's the first time that I didn't have to be the one to tell people to get a notepad. So thank you.
You're
already changing the game. Look at this fucking guy. Awesome. Andy, why don't you just jump on in and I told the people a little bit, but tell them your story. Who are you? ATC, LMT, all this stuff.
Perfect. So I'll try to give the short story. So basically, my name is Andy Fortuna, born and raised in Miami, Florida.
Hey, hey.
Yep. And so Hispanic parents, Cuban, Dominican, that's my background. But I played collegiate baseball, and it started off in high school, obviously looking to get scholarships and stuff like that. I got injured earlier on in my junior year, and that's when I got exposed to the physical therapy and sports medicine realm. Because before that, I was just trying to make it to professional baseball. And then I looked around, I was like, oh, cool. Like, you get to work and help people and exercise. All right, I can do this. Because up to then, I didn't know what I was going to study. I knew I wanted to go to college, but I had no idea what my major and all that stuff was going to be. So long story short, I went through college. I actually did my undergrad in kinesiology. My intention was to do physical therapy, but in all honesty, I did not want to do any of those prereqs. I was like, there has to be another way that I can do this. But the problem with that was I was a little squeamish with blood. And I knew with athletic training, which is one of the programs that actually went to University of Texas Pan American. It actually changed to UTRGV now. But they had was athletic training. And it was more like an apprenticeship. They really don't have those things, have those types of programs anymore. But so I was like, all right, do not want to do the prereqs for PT. Let me do the student athletic trainer thing as I'm going to school. And so I was a student athlete and I was a student athletic trainer. So I didn't do too many hours, but I was trying to do my best and seeing the student athletic trainer side and being basically a student athlete. It was hard, but it was worth it. But then long story short, I went to my senior year. I was like, you know what? I kind of want to do this PT thing. If I really want to do this, then I'm just going to go through it. I came home. I was like, okay, I got to do prereqs, trying to figure out. And then I was like, all right, no, I definitely don't want to do prereqs. I switched from PT to OT. I even started shadowing OT. The OT is like, listen, with your background, this it doesn't fit you going into this realm. I was like, I was thinking more at that point, like money-wise. I'm like, okay, yeah. If I do OT, I'll make this amount of money, you know, I'll be stable. But as I started going through it, at that point, I was going to school for massage therapy, and I was like, no, I really don't want to do OT. So, and then I had this conversation with one of my coworkers because I was working at a spinal cord injury fitness rehab place. So we were able to – basically, we were helping people with spinal cord injury, brain trauma and all that stuff basically to recuperate. And he was like, you know what? I'm thinking of doing an athletic training program over here at Florida International University. I was like, man, that sounds cool. I looked at the curriculum. Huh. I looked at the curriculum, and I was like, yes, this is what I want to do. So I kind of got over my blood,
the blood phobia.
Yeah. So I was like, okay, I went to two, and actually before that, I actually applied to public health. I went into a public health program for like a week. I literally opened a book, Shante, and I was like, there's no pictures in here. A giant book, pictures. I'm like,
shut up.
Okay, I gotta get out of here. So I went to basically through three programs almost. Then I decided, you know what? I'm gonna do athletic trainer. I'm gonna become an athletic trainer and then mix in my massage therapy license into it. So within that realm, I graduated with my athletic training and massage therapy license. So massage therapy license first and then athletic training. But within that, I had created Myrony. And it was really by accident that I created Myrony. It's like I finished my massage therapy license or my massage therapy course, got my license, and I didn't want to create a name or business with my name. And I didn't want to make like this like usually with massage companies, it's like body work this or that, and I didn't want that. So I wanted to make it a name to where it can be like anything I could create it. So I came up with Myrony with a couple influences with other companies. And I came up with Myrony, and then I was doing it. I was working with like six or seven gyms basically throughout the week. I would kind of visit, plop my table out, and then hope for people to work. But one of the things that I didn't realize is how hard that was going to be. I would think like, okay, you know there's a lot of people with problems. I'm pretty good at what I do. I have a background as an athlete. Like I'll help so many people. It took me about 6 or 7 months to make any money.
Real talk.
Yeah, I'm like, what? I was like, I can see you squatting over there. I know you're hurting. and I'll tell them, hey, let me work on you 10 minutes. Let me work on you 30 minutes. Listen, let me work on you for an hour. I'll give you an entire hour. Let me show you that I can help you. And that was such a wake-up call for me because I was thinking, you know, with this skill that I have, I can help so many people. But what I started realizing is a lot of people didn't value what I was presenting to them. And it wasn't that I wasn't good and I couldn't help them, but it just wasn't a priority to them. So at that point, I was like, okay, this is not working. I got to figure out how to get in front of more people. And then I started doing the social media, started adding that into there. And then that kind of created a little more credibility. And people were like, oh, I see you, you know, creating these videos that help me out. I was like, oh, yeah. The other day I was like 10 feet away from you trying to help you. You didn't want to listen, but, you know, but... It's something where people see me on social media or see me somewhere else, and they're like, "All right, cool, this guy can help me." I was like, "I've been trying to help you for the last 3 years."
And I was 10 feet away from me.
Yeah, it was frustrating. But so that was kind of like my entry point through Myrony. And then through there, I created a good network, and I started meeting the fitness crowd here in Miami. And then I landed here at BeFit Biscayne, which is a personal training studio and a fitness strength and conditioning facility where they do like boot camps and one-on-one. And my philosophy and their philosophy just kind of like intertwined really well. And I've been here for 4 years.
Man. Andy, I want to back it up just real quick. When you graduated from massage school, you started Myrony right then?
Yes. So I was done. I actually took my license and did that. And I was like, all right, I got to come up with a name and
so good.
Started off right away. With massage, it's a lot easier. You just get a table, you basically go anywhere. And at that point, I was doing like home services and home visits, which I do not like.
Nope.
But so yeah, I started off right away with Myron right off the bat.
And then when did AT school come in?
So soon after that, so I graduated from my undergrad, trying to figure out my whole life. I actually took a break of like a year trying to figure out what I want to do for my graduate school. And within that year, I was doing massage therapy. And then once I graduated massage therapy, within the next year, I started AT school at FIU.
This is amazing. Few things. One, you guys listening, just I hope you take the bigger picture from his story that you can make this whatever you want. He started things and he was like, you know what, this isn't the right thing. I'm going to kind of switch directions a little bit. He took time off in the middle there. And it's really interesting that you said that it's a lot easier with massage therapy because you can just
go
put a table. But realistically, so can you do that? You can also do that with PT.
Yeah.
Like, and I'm assuming because you got, from what I got from talking with Ethan and what I've got from talking to you and Mike and other trainers, athletic trainers, we do the same thing.
Yeah.
So, you know, we're not in this post-op. If you're not in this post-op space, like, you're doing the same thing, which I don't know the legality side with athletic trainers, but like physiotherapists listening, it is that simple. You could do the same thing also. And that's what a lot of, you know, Danny Mate's whole thing is, this gym PT where you're basically plopping a table in, ideally if they have like a little bit of a room because it's just a little bit nicer.
Yeah.
But even if they don't, I've seen people do it without that. Mm-hmm. And it can be like this. Like, I'm so proud of you, man. You just were like, yeah, I'm doing the damn thing. And that's freaking awesome. Like, amazing.
Yeah.
It took me a while. Go ahead.
Yeah, it took me a while, but you know, we're here and still learning a lot, like, along the way.
This is, you said that you were doing videos. So you were doing videos as a massage therapist.
Mm-hmm.
Can you say that out loud, please, so that they can hear you?
Yeah, I was doing videos as a massage therapist.
All my massage therapists out there listening to this, and I have a bunch, and I have some, Kiana, I'm talking to you. I'm going to make sure you listen to this episode. Mandy, I'm talking to you. I have massage therapists that are kind of like, I want to do more. I think that I can do more. And you guys can and should do more. Put these videos out. Go ahead. Like, it's a very interesting space that I see. Actually, that's why that I created my course. And we're going to talk about your course. Was picking up to fill that space because I see these demographics that want to do more and are looking for more and are capable of doing more without going to more schooling or more education immediately.
Mm-hmm.
And Andy's showing you. He did it. Put those videos out. Put that education out. Establish that credibility because people like it for whatever reason. Like you said, you tell them in person and they're like, no. And then you have a video and they're like, oh, I see, you know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
Like, great. Great. So tell us about ATC school, or AT school.
So ATC school was very interesting. So I got a lot out of it. So you get basically musculoskeletal, you get through the orthopedic, you get through special tests. You see a lot of sports. But through athletic training, you work through so many settings. So you see, basically you work with a doctor, you could do the sports setting, which is the traditional like college setting or professional setting. You do the high school setting, which is also the traditional side. There's also basically where you can work corporate wellness and stuff like that. You don't necessarily do that as a rotation, but it's a possible setting to be working in. AT school was, and FIU, they do a great job of preparing you, like so much so that it's hard when you're going through it, but then when you take your test, you're like, that's pretty
easy.
This. You know? I've done massage school, I've done AT school, now I'm doing acupuncture and oriental. I'm dreaming of Oreos. But what most people think when they go to school is that they're going to learn everything they need to know, and then they're going to be good. No. In school, what they're teaching you is basically the standard, right? You have specialties, right? You have certain teachers that have certain specialties, whether it's in neuro or cardio, or as far as ATC is more manual therapy and stuff like that, or maybe like certain rehab or strength and conditioning niches. But what you're really learning in school are the basics, right? And then it's up to you to really nail down on what you want to do. Because some people, to be honest, some people go to school, get their license, and just want a job. And there's some people that go to school, get their license, and you're like, you know what? I want to make a difference. And then there's some people that do all that and really want to pave a new route. Is what you're seeing now with ATs is where they're opening up their own shop, right? It's not easy. But nothing worthwhile is technically easy. So through AT school, I was able to kind of get my grasp. So I had the manual therapy side through massage, right? But then through AT school, I really honed into orthopedic and musculoskeletal and the rehab side, which is very important.
Got it.
You don't necessarily need that. Like, I know a lot of good massage therapists that are strength conditioning coaches too and do a really good job. But I also know a lot of ATs that have the manual therapy side, like myself, and do an also really good job.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter the certifications that you have. You can be a terrible ATC with all these letters behind your name, and you can be a really good massage therapist with nothing behind your name, but you have a lot of experience and you really love what you do. So I think a lot of times the misconception with people is, I need more schooling so that people recognize me. I need more schooling so that I'm really good. Not necessarily. You just got to be, you got to work at it. You got to be really good.
That's it.
You know?
Let them know.
So I think that's a lot of misconceptions that we've seen, especially with continuing education. I remember actually you posted on your social media, it's like, it was, so correct me wrong, it's similar to this. It's like, don't worry about taking so many courses. Worry about learning what you need to learn, and then slowly rack up your courses. Don't just up all these courses because you're trying to become this superhero of a therapist, or a athletic trainer, or whatever it is, or a practitioner.
Amen.
And that really hit home, because to me, which is why I'm trying to create this, and I've created this course, is because it's really for the younger person of me. When I graduated massage therapy school, I was like, okay, cool, I got these skills. And I have the sports realm, but I know I can do so much with this. I need a little bit more knowledge. And I did a continuing education and did all that. Even through athletic training, I was like, you know what? I want a little bit more. And now going through acupuncture and oriental medicine, I was like, okay, I want a little bit more. But a lot of times that little bit more is just a little bit more time. It's not a little bit more not more degrees they need to get. It's just time under your belt. And sometimes it's having the right people as a mentor to kind of guide you. You know what I mean?
Absolutely. I love what you just said. Sometimes that little bit more is a little bit more time. And I would say more often than not, that's what it is, especially with new grads, because we're young, right? As a new grad, you're young. You don't have the experience. You just want to be good. You just want to help people. You kind of want a safety net that's like going to ensure that you don't hurt anybody or you don't make any mistakes, even though you have to make mistakes to learn.
Yep.
And so, you know, people will kind of tempt you with like, oh, residency or some other bullshit that's like, you'll get this time faster. Yeah. You're never going to get the time faster. And Andy that was spot on, my dude. That was so good. Sometimes that little bit more is what you need, is a little bit more time. And that's, Andy, so good. So I want to tease out two things that you said there. One, I want you to talk a little bit more about your course. And two, I want you to talk about your business model. Because like you said, there's different paths that people take when they go to ATC school or, you know, physical therapy school, any of them.
Mm-hmm.
And one of them is like, yeah, I want to make a difference. I want to change things. I want to open up my own shop.
Right.
So, you know, two points I'd love for you to tease out in any order you want. One, this course that you're working on developing. And two, what this model looks like for ATCs opening their own practices.
Okay, I'll go through the model first and then the course afterwards. So the model that you're starting to see is basically the same type of model that I did as a massage therapist early on. Because as I was going, I was like, I can definitely do this and have the knowledge of ATC. Why not combine the two? But the problem with athletic training and having the hurdle that we have to cross to be able to do that, because in our practice, we deal with emergency medicine, which basically if somebody's having, something falls on their, usually it's like sports. You have a fracture, you have this, you have that. Typically we're doing splinting. We're taking them out to the paramedic, making sure that they're going, you know, that's the emergency medicine side of it. And the problem with that is we have to have a supervising physician in order to basically practice.
But
in reality, most of the models that you see through like Mike and myself, we're basically operating like a manual therapist and a strength conditioning coach, or more so like a musculoskeletal therapist who, you know, deals with chronic pain, chronic injuries, acute little things, if it's a sprain or, you know, a strain or something like that. Nothing in the sense of emergency medicine. But because we have that in our scope of practice, we have to have a supervising physician. In a working relationship with that.
Got
it. But also too, a lot of people do LMT and become athletic trainer and LMT, and you kind of mm-hmm. bypass that.
Yeah, it makes sense.
But a lot of orthos too want to work, you know, someone like myself who is in the niche of fitness and in the niche of active professionals that want to continue staying active for long term, they're going to get injured or they're going to have certain issues, right?
Yeah, totally.
So we serve as kind of like the middleman between, kind of like in athletic training and traditional athletic training. There's someone in the high school that's taking care of the athletes. If something happens, hey, I need you to go see the doctor. Go to the doctor. When you come back, I'm going to take care of you through your whole rehab process and into your strength conditioning side. This is just a similar model, kind of, but through the active professional. Basically, and the gym goer, per se, like you mentioned, the gym PT blueprint. So that's the hurdle that we kind of have to cross when it comes to that. And also, too, not many people know what a licensed athletic trainer is and what we do. Because the name athletic trainer, most people, you tell them, oh, you know what athletic trainer is? Oh, you must train athletes, right? You work with sports. Yes and no. Some people, some athletic trainers will cringe at that because they'll coincide a athletic trainer with a personal trainer, but that's just like one aspect of it. You'll find a lot mm-hmm. of times where athletic trainers say, don't ask me what exercises to do. That's not what I do. Or don't ask me if you want to lose the weight. But that's part of our scope, but it's not everything. Yeah.
So do you take insurance then? Like how do people pay you?
No. So this is a cash practice, and that's actually, I rather that because it gives me the total autonomy to work with this patient and give them the best patient experience that I can possibly give them. Faster outcomes for the most part, because you're not dictated by somebody who knows where, dictating what type of care you give to your patient. When you know, first and foremost, most of the time is a member in your actual gym or somebody that's referring them towards you, and you can help them. Like, you don't have to go through, hey, sorry, I can't do this because your insurance is not going to pay for it. It's rather like, look, this is what I know. This is my skill set. This is what's going on with you. Not only are you going to understand what's going on, I'm going to guide you along the way so that you feel better. And not only are you going to feel better, because most times when you work with insurance, it's only to the point where you're at the 12th session and you feel better, but it's mm-hmm. that's that gray area where, all right, I have no pain, but I still don't know necessarily how to do a proper hip hinge. Or, you know what, squatting, and I'm still super scared of squatting because the clinic or wherever I was at doesn't necessarily have the tools for me. So when I go back into boot camp, or when I go back into my CrossFit box, or when I go back into whatever, I'm still scared. And most of the time, Shanti, mm-hmm. what I find is apprehension, and that stress of apprehension is a lot more deadly than the actual pain. Because people are so scared yep. of moving that they start to yep. not only create compensations, but they're just scared. And they're like, you know what, I'm not yeah. going to do that. And then somebody that, a lot of times people, when they work out, it's a big stress reliever. It's a big, you know, they like to work on themselves.
For sure.
As, you know, improving themselves. When they don't have that, what do they turn to? They get depressed, they get, you know, and they start gaining weight. And there's a whole other thing that comes behind that. So thankfully, no, I am in the model of cash-based, which allows me to give a total autonomy and this specific patient experience that I have customized, right, and continues to improve. And there's so nothing better than working, like, I'm pretty sure my patients and my clients are so tired of me, because I always tell them, listen, I am so grateful to be able to work with you one-on-one. Like, I can do this from 3 in the morning to 10 o'clock at night. Like, I can do this all day. Like, it's such
I love it.
It's such a such a happy feeling that you're at the end of the day, you're tired, but the tired that you're feeling is just you're able to work with so many people, right? Or you at the capacity that you're able to work with somebody, it's just like you're giving that person everything they need. You know what I mean? And they feel that. So yeah, that's the hurdle that we have to cross. But I think now, and there's a group called AT Solution. AT Solution is basically Sean and Jason. They're out of actually Arizona, and they're doing such a good job.
Someone on Instagram. Yes.
I'm actually part of their group. They actually helped me out a lot to kind of establish this foundation that I have with Myronew, because the hardest thing is to, as an ATC, so as a PT, you know, like you mentioned, Danny's Mastermind. They do a great job, and I've learned a lot through them too. But that's more mm-hmm. so PT, which is helping.
Yeah.
But also as an AT, I need to understand basically the prereqs that that I need to know when it comes to setting up. It's a different kind of, it's the same model, same model, but different recipe.
Ooh. Yeah, for sure. Yeah. I like that. Write it down. Write it down on your own notepad.
There you go. But they do a great job of helping you and guide you through finding a physician, what you should do, setting up workshops and stuff like that. As an AT, that's like, they're doing a great job. So I highly recommend you check out Sean and Jason at the AT Solution. I believe that's their Instagram name.
So I'll link it.
So a little plug in for them. But, you know, having that resource, because when you're trying to do something like what I've done, I had no idea what I was doing. I've come to this. It's like most people think like, wow, like you knew exactly what you want to do from the get-go. No.
Right. Keep it real.
Right. I went through like almost like $5,000 to $6,000 of trying to figure out what grad school I wanted to go to. I did continuing education. I spent a lot of money there. I spent money on business stuff. Cause by the way, if you want to go into business, you have to learn about business. You have to learn about, you know, back end stuff, how to market, how to brand, you know, like those are things you can, yeah, you can get away with for a few months or a few years on your own. But if you really want to be able to provide this patient experience, you have to learn how to run a business, right? And Danny Matei does such a good job with the PT blueprint and the PT biz side of things that he's helped me a lot with.
You guys listening, I'm going to interject real quick. You guys listening, that was a big message that he just delivered there, but he said it pretty nonchalantly. You got to spend money. You got to be okay investing. He spent a couple grand on this in trying to figure out what he wanted to do and learn how to do what he wanted to do. I see so many people that are scared to spend like a dollar. Yeah. Like, I get it. It can be scary, but like, so many people, they're just like, they want these guarantees that if I spend $1, I'm going to get a bajillion dollars on my investment. And it's like, it doesn't work like that unless you put in the work. So look at the stuff that you think you want to be doing, invest some money, and understand that on the other side of it, you're going to come out either knowing that this is what I want to do and I learned some stuff from it, or knowing I don't want to do that. And that's cool too. You learn from that, you cross it off the list, and you know, like, okay, this is what I'm looking for in the next educational thing, the next whatever. But you got to be willing to put in both the time and the money for these things. It doesn't happen overnight. It can be a little bit scary. Like you said, my dude's giving you straight up real talk here. But that's also what's led him to be so successful. Like, he's running his own practice. He's, you know, spending time, like he just told you, whether it's from the beginning of the day till the very end. Like, he loves what he's doing. How many people out there can say that? You know, I started this podcast and I bring people like Andy on because I want that for everyone. I want everyone to be like, I wake up, I'm excited about the day. Like, I don't hate my job. I'm not going to, like, you know, it's not the worst thing that I've ever done. I have something at least in my life that gives me some excitement, some passion. And you can build that. You can create that. Like, this is awesome, Andy. And he gave you a resource, AT Solution. I will link it in the show notes, but I've definitely seen them on Instagram. So I'll link that for you guys. And because like you said, go ahead.
Yeah. And I was going to say, yeah, they're doing a great job. Make sure you follow them. And if you need to, reach out to them. And also, too, I think another investment that most people don't see as an investment is a mistake. A mistake is a very valuable, like, there's a lot of mistakes that I've done and probably will continue to have, obviously not on purpose, but I think a lot of people are apprehensive of making a decision, myself included, because they don't want to make a mistake. But we get so frozen and trying to be so perfect that we end up not creating or taking that leap. And there's certain things, you know, it's good to plan, but it's also, you're planning to execute. You don't just plan just to keep planning. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And that goes with business decisions. That goes with school decisions. That goes with basically most decisions, if not all of them. Like, obviously, create an opportunity for yourself, right? Review, like, create some research, whatever things that you need to do it appropriately. But then at that point, once you have the generic or the general sense of what you need to do, go ahead and do it. You know what I mean? And it's, I think sometimes people get frozen and try not to make a mistake that they make a bigger mistake, and that's regret.
Yes. Planning to execute, not just planning to plan. Damn. Write down all your quotes, Andy.
Listen.
Write them all down.
Listen, I told them to, you know, pull out a notepad. I didn't know it was going to be this intense, but you know what? You got me going here, Chante, and there's no holding back now.
This is so good. So I want to tease this out a little bit more. I got like two questions about this, and then I want to talk about the course and then social media. But regarding this ATC model, independent clinic. Mm-hmm. So how do the main, the best way then to kind of get around the loopholes of like, get around the not the loopholes, get around the requirements of practicing under a physician is to also have like dual licensure, like to be a massage therapist also. That's like the best bet.
Yeah, because you get you get the knowledge as an ATC, but you're really practicing as a basically a massage therapist strength coach.
Gotcha.
The best way is to find a ortho, which there are. It might take a few. And like I said, another resource that the AT Solution has is they have actually a network of physicians, and they've worked with other physicians as well, and they'll help you. Mm-hmm. There's nothing more valuable when it comes to there's a lot of valuable things, but a very valuable thing that most people don't realize is creating a relationship. When you spend, I guess another investment is relationship. When you spend the time talking with an ortho and saying, listen, this is what I got going on. This is what I want to do. This is the type of experience I want to provide. And I want to have you as a resource. What do you think? You know, I remember my first, talking to my first ortho. I had no idea what I was talking about. Thankfully, he gave me the time. But at the end of the day, it didn't work out. But I learned from that. I was like, okay, I went in there and I had no idea what I want to do, but I really had no idea where to start. And that was before I even knew about Sean and Jason. But creating a relationship, even let's say outside of stuff, even as a massage therapist or PT, creating a relationship with your local community is probably the best thing that you can do before doing anything else. I'd rather you, before taking any course, create a relationship. Because you can learn so much from other PTs. You can learn so much from strength coaches. You can learn so much from other business owners that you don't necessarily have to spend money, but you do have to spend some time. You know, I'm constantly, weekly, talking to the strength coaches here at BeFit. I'm constantly working out other gyms to see what they're doing, how I can help them out with their members, maybe creating workshops. Actually, I just did a workshop last week. You know,
so good.
Sometimes you don't really have to spend money to learn stuff. It's people, you know, there's education everywhere. Social media is a big part of it. Mm-hmm. But also too, like your neighborhood is surrounded by such big players in this industry as far as health and fitness that sometimes I think we get, again, another thing is we get scared. We don't want to approach them. Yeah. How are they going to perceive me asking this question?
Some they might say no.
Yeah, some people are going to be super cool about it and some people aren't. Those people that aren't your people you're trying to create a relationship, but
it's not your people.
Let me tell you, when you do have, like I've created such cool relationships here in Miami, and I wouldn't have done that if I didn't go out there. Was I super scared to do my first workshop? Yes. Do I still get nervous? Yes. Do I get butterflies? Absolutely. Do I love doing workshops and teaching people? Absolutely. But I still get scared. You know, I still get nervous. Even when it's even when it's meeting potential like a nutritionist or a chiropractor, do I get super nervous? Yes. Do I, am I pretty cynical? Am I going to think like they're not going to understand what the type of model that I have? Sure. But most of the time, those people are trying to reach out to other people just as much as you are. So trying to, so like I said, relationship building is probably one of the biggest skills that you can ever build. And
I love it.
Yeah, you can read books and you can read podcasts, but at the end of the day, you have to practice.
I love it, man. He's telling you all, this is, it's really nice when someone else says the things that you believe in, because it's like, I can preach it all day, I can put it in a daily maestroism, and it's like, but then someone else says it, and they're like, yeah! So I'm glad that you're on here saying that. I want to tease out that last part. You said that you love teaching, you love putting in workshops. Tell us more about this course that you are developing.
Oh, nice little transition there. I like that. That was a move, man. So this course that I've been working on basically the last 7 months is, like I mentioned earlier in the podcast, is that this is directed to the earlier me. When I graduated from massage therapy and when I graduated from ATC school, I was like, man, there's so much out there. I want to learn it all. But what I realized is a lot of the stuff that people are teaching are very similar. They have their own perspectives and stuff like that. But also too, there. So for example, you go to a manual therapy course, you're going to learn manual therapy. If you go to a movement course, you're going to learn movement. If you go to like a mindset, energetic, kind of like energy course, you're going to learn that. What I want to do, and I've always wanted to do, is combine everything, right? It's kind of like, I'm a big fan of Bruce Lee, and Bruce Lee's thing was don't be a specialist. Learn, take from each element, and then become basically almost a generalist, right? But obviously, in that same token, he would say, "I'm afraid of a man that knows one kick understands one kick a thousand times rather than a thousand kicks one time." But with that being said, is you're taking elements of each thing and combining it into this one course, which is basically what I've created. Basically, it's taking like energy work and meditation, right, which is the mindset of things, and then incorporating the manual therapy side, which is the hands-on, which to me, I mean, there's nothing more powerful than caring hands, caring knowledgeable hands. Like you can do so, like in my clinic, there's no ultrasound, there's no machines or none of that. It's just hands and movement and some rock tape if needed and some like instrument assisted things too. But primarily it's just hands-on stuff, right?
Yeah.
Because most of the time, if you can get somebody to have a reduction of pain, a little bit more mobility and get them to move, movement is going to be the key to most, if not everything. And then that last aspect is movement, movement programming. So it's combining those three elements into one. But what I will and I will always tell people, don't take one course and think it's the end all be all. Even my course that I've created is like elements of multiple kind of like principles. Don't stop there. You should never stop there, right? Even if you take my course, like the course that I'm trying to create and I've basically been implementing is this very immersive course. Because you go to a regular course, you have like 30 or 40 people. And it's not that intimate, right? It's not that intimate. I'm a big, like I learn a lot from conversations. I learn a lot from like this one-on-one mentorship. And this is what this course is about, is creating these three elements. And it's only open to 8 to 10 people. And this is a weekend course where you're going to get immersed in not only the energetic and the meditational side of things, you're going to get manual therapy skills, and you're going to get the movement programming, and then combine all that. Basically, what I've created here, this type of patient experience that I've had here at MyRenew. And I've worked with people with low back pain, hip pain, you name any type of pain I've been able to work with, and it's been such a pleasure. So my biggest thing is to be able to bring this to, like I mentioned, the person is like the younger version of me. This person just kind of like graduated or has taken all these courses and doesn't know where to kind of streamline this. Like I've taken this, I've taken that, but how can I really maximize everything that I've learned? And this course really, I'm really happy with how it's turned out. Like it's not an end all be all, but someone taking this course is going to have a really good patient experience and outcome just by learning these principles. And
I love it. Yeah. Is it open to all different kinds of providers?
So yeah, it's basically from LMT, athletic trainers, PT, basically anybody with the license to touch. That's
amazing. That. Amazing, amazing. And I like that you said that you're bringing in the energy side of things. That's very unique. It's not done. So you guys out there listening, when I met Andy, I met him at, like I said, Danny Mate's mastermind. Mm-hmm. And we talked about stuff. And one of my big things is like, what's your one? Like we go to these things, you get so hyped. And then I'm like, what's your one thing you're going to work on though? Because you get really hyped and you don't do shit because you're like, it's all cool. So I was talking to Andy about what his one thing is. And he was talking to me about this course that he's creating. And I was like, amazing. And also I'm going to bring on the podcast so you can tell the world, because that's who listens, the entire world, you can tell the world about this so that now he's also held to this. So if they want more information, right, accountability from multiple people, they are going to want more information and kind of be able to keep up on this, how can they kind of get in touch with you, keep up and know when this is dropping?
Yeah, no problem. So you can follow me on social media. I haven't, and we'll talk about this if we have time, the social media side of things. You can follow me on Instagram at AF_move. You can also email me at Andy@MyRenew, MyRenew.com. Any questions that you may have, any interest in the course, feel free to.
Amazing.
And again, this is going to be, yes, it's open to a lot of practitioners, but it's open to the right person. Because I'm a big believer that not. You have to connect with the person that's teaching you and the educator, you know what I mean? And I think this immersive course, bringing in the right people, would give it a better immersive experience to those that are going to be attending too. So there'll be there's going to be an interview process. There's going to be like questionnaires and stuff to make sure that you're the right person. Cause we want to make sure that those 8 to 10 people that are there are really there for the right reasons. And we're able to help them basically make that jump to being the best provider that they can be.
I love it so much there. One, you guys, I will link all of that in the show notes, AF_move, Andy at MayaRenew.com. I'll link it though, so don't go crashing your car trying to write it down. Two, Roger Bannister Effect yet again. If you're an ATC, if you're a movement provider of any sort, doesn't matter to me. Look at what he's doing, right? You see there's a gap there and it needs to be filled. Go and fill it. You have something you want to share with the world? Go and create the course and do it. Right, listen to what this guy is just saying and go and create it. And while you're at it, support him. And if you feel like, hey, you know what? I will learn that. I think that this would be a good fit. Reach out to him. Connect, like he said, right? Ask some questions and, you know, fill out that application. Additionally, you just connect just to connect. I think that's one of the most valuable things that you said so far is just the value of establishing relationships. I always say it, like, life is all about connection. That's it. All about connection. So Andy Andy lives the message. It's interesting because I met 40 people or so at the mastermind, and Andy's the only one that I asked to come on the podcast. I don't say that as like a dig to the rest of anybody else or anything like that, because that sounds terrible. But I met Andy, and I met him the second. I interacted with him more so the second day. So we had the whole first day and like the night before, but it wasn't until the second day. And in that short amount of time, I was like, this dude is freaking awesome. Like, that speaks to how he connects with people. And there's something hugely valuable to that. And when you can sit with someone and have it be meaningful and let them know that you're actually listening, that you actually care what they're saying, it's a skill. And, you know, it's incredibly, incredibly valuable. So do all the things you said, write them all down.
I appreciate that. And I must confess, it was strategic because I didn't want to approach you the first day. I was like, she's going to think I'm a fan person. You know, I don't want to be that guy. And then the second day, or no, it was 3 days. The second day, I was like, okay, it's still too early. So the third day, you're sitting next to me. I was like, bing, perfect time. And I just strategically put my hand on your shoulder. I was like, hey, Shantae, you don't know me. My name is Andy. And then here
we are.
You're
so smooth with it.
Yeah, and here we are. Thankfully,
look at this. And here we are.
Thankfully, it worked out.
Ah, you're just a good man. Andy, the final thing, this final section of this podcast, and I think it's going to be super, super huge. And I'm really grateful for you for wanting to chat about this.
Yeah.
So you guys listening, Andy disclosed to me that when I first met him, actually, and we're talking about social media and starting this course and such, and he was like, yeah, you know, I'm on social media. I had to step away for a little bit, and we got to talking about that and some of the less talked about side of social media and the ramifications of being so open with your life and being on this platform. And Andy said he would be willing to come on and talk about it. So, Andy, I'm going to give you the mic. The proverbial maestro mic here. And I'd love if you just share your story with us, my dude.
Yeah, no problem. And I think this is super important to talk about. And I knew when I was going through this, actually, I didn't know I was going through this until it was basically too late in a sense. And I'll explain what I meant by too late. But once this happened, I was like, all right, I really have to share this because I'm pretty sure there's a lot of people that go through this and you don't see this too much on social media. And I think it needs to be, because a lot of times social media is just a highlight reel. People are showing you what they want you to see. And most of the time is the positive things. Yeah, there's certain people that kind of give their day to day. But you know what it is now? We hear about all these celebrities going through like certain anxiety and certain depressions, and we think like, man, they have everything they need. They have all this money. Like, what else do they want? You know what I mean? But what social media has created, right, is that type of fame and that celebrity sense because your whole life is out there. So you almost started to create this persona. So with that being said, I started off about 2 or 3 years ago. Actually, I did talking to Vinny from Mild Detox. He was like, listen, if you want to do the social media thing, you just have to post. I was like,
yeah, that's it.
I was like, I can do that. I can post. Awesome. And then sure enough, you know, I started posting consistently. And then within like 3 to 4 months, I started really picking up followers. And this is when I say posting, I mean, it's like posting from Sunday to Sunday. And it wasn't just like this generic. It was like original content that I would either work with a patient, either something that I was dealing with, something that I saw at the gym, you know, anything you name, it was stuff that I was creating from scratch. From Sunday to Sunday. I'm going to repeat that again. I don't think people realize how much work. So it takes about 10, now it could probably take 5 to 10 minutes to create a video, but at that time it was like 10 to 15 minutes to create a video. 10 minutes to 15 to 20 minutes to edit if you were editing certain things. Another 10, maybe 30 minutes to create a caption that wasn't too fancy, but that people can relate to. You have to, you have to verify, and my grammar isn't a great. So if you have read any of my posts and there's something going on there or any of my blogs, I apologize, but the information is valuable. So there was a lot of work being put in, and I was, as an ambitious person that I am, I was totally up for it. So 6 months in, I hit like a little wall. I was like, and plus, as I was doing this social media thing, I was doing my master's program. I was an entrepreneur running a business that I had no idea what I was doing. I was, living my family life, have a relationship and was working on a relationship with my fiance of 10 years that we are 10 and a half years now.
Wow.
So it was like multiple things that I was juggling, not to create an excuse, but I'm just creating and painting a picture so people understand. Yeah. So 6 months in, I hit a wall and I'm just like, holy cow, like this is, and I remember vividly, one of the coaches here at BFIT, he was like, yo, what's up, man? You look terrible. I'm like, I'm exhausted. Like, it's not even, there's like physically exhausted, there's like mentally exhausted and emotionally exhausted. I was all those three. I was like, I am so tired. He's like, hey man, don't worry about it. Like a month from now, you're gonna look back and you're like, man, you know, that was so worth it. And that was like a little get up that I needed. I was like, you know what? You're right. You know, I'm building pretty good traction. I'm having a good time doing this. Cause originally when I did this, I was posting the videos. I love it. Well, actually, let me take it back a little bit. Earlier on, when I was like in high school, I was like, I would never want to be a teacher. I don't want to teach. I suck at teaching. But what I started noticing is through my practice, first of all, as a movement provider, as a manual therapist, we're really almost like psychologists that know movement.
Yes.
So you are dealing with people, but you're also teaching them lifestyle modifications. Hey, like you're at this point, but we're going to get to this point. So without me noticing, I was becoming an educator, and I really liked that part. And then social media just allowed me to kind of amplify that. And then I really loved that part. I'm a very creative person, so it allowed me to create these videos, some cool transitions or these cool like clips and things that were really helping people. So it was super cool. The first 6 months, and then I got to a wall, and I was like, whew. And then, you know, I talked to Scotty, which is one of the coaches here, and he's like, listen, you'll be good. Keep going. All right, kept going. And then I hit another wall about like 3 months later. And I think this was like August. And I'm like, oh, I'm like, geez, this is terrible. But at this point, it started getting a little dark. And what I mean by dark, it turned away from this educational creative mode to this like comparing, doubting, very like, who am I type of person. And it really turned fairly ugly. And I was trying to ignore it at that point. And I was like, you know what, if I really want to do this, I'll keep it going. So I started going again. And then about a month later, I was like, had a bad, really bad, dark place. Like I would wake up with heart palpitations for no reason.
Wow.
I wouldn't, like there was times where I would lay in bed and like, I really wouldn't want to get up. I felt like 2000 pounds. And mind you, family was good. School was hard, but nothing was crazy. Relationship, like nothing in a sense was bad. It's just the way that I was kind of spending my energy was in this space that turned into this comparing competition. Like I would compare myself, okay, these people are doing this in their practice, like this person is posting this and getting dislikes and this views. It went from creating an impact to how can it became into a rat race. Who can be the best influencer? And it's not like anybody mm-hmm. approached me and said, hey, like, I want to compete. It was just me, this inner, like, competition that I created, but it really turned ugly. So I really, like, credibility, like, I was measuring my credibility based on likes and views, right? And I was basing my potential and my business off of what other people were doing. And again, these are highlight reels. Like, you would look at other people and you think they're doing really good, and then you talk to them and be like, no, like this, you know. And I was like, yeah, it got to a point where I didn't know who I was looking in the mirror. Like, I was depressed. Like, and if you know me, this is not me. This is not the type of person that I am. And
you hear it in your voice. It's not you.
Yeah. And what I was telling myself is like, am I not just like, able to handle this? Like, can I not do this business thing? Can I not do this like educator thing? Maybe I'm not up for it. And it wasn't that I wasn't up for it. It's just the way that I was going about it. I was going about it the wrong way. And like I said, like, I went through a big depression, depression. It was big to me, but anybody looking at me probably thought I was fine because I did a really good job of hiding mm-hmm. it. I did a really good job of hiding it. Like, and I remember when I started talking about this, my fiance was like, how come you never told me? It's like, it's not that I didn't want to tell you. It was just that I felt like I can get over it. Like, it wasn't a big deal.
Yeah.
Like, it's just, you know, I was like, yeah, maybe there's probably everybody's going through this, you know? So it got to a point where I was like, it was really affecting me. Like, I had to reevaluate myself and be like, is this the type of person that I want to be? Like, anxious, depressed, always comparing. Like, I got to this really hostile, like, I didn't want to talk to anybody. Like, this competition versus this, like, scarcity mindset versus this, like, this abundance mindset. Like, there's so mm-hmm. many people to help. And I was really closed-minded. So with that being said, it got to the day where I was like, one day I didn't post. And I was like, uh-oh. And it was like a monkey came off my back. It was like,
yeah.
But you know, you have to understand too, like, when I started Myronew and it started kind of being somewhat successful, I was on Instagram. So on social mm-hmm. media in a sense. So I said to myself, like, I can't stop the social media, because if I stop social media, nobody's gonna know who I am.
Yeah.
I'm not gonna have any business. Yeah. Like, my business is gonna go to crap. Excuse me, to crap. And that's not necessarily the case. You know, people didn't come to me because of my social media following. Yeah, they might have arrived here, but they stayed for the value that I was providing them. And that's something I didn't see. I didn't understand that until I got off of social media. And honestly, my patients and clients didn't go anywhere. But actually what started happening was I was able to create this newfound energy and put it into my clients, put it into working on myself, right? What I learned from that was that stress and anxiety is a big deal, a very big deal. And I didn't realize that. Like, people talk about being stressed and being anxious and being depressed. Like, you hear all over the news. But until it happens to you, you're like, and again, I was the type of person where I'm very empathetic and I can kind of understand. But there are certain times where people would be like, oh, I'm so depressed. Like, you know, this is happening to me. I'm like, listen, you have so much stuff that are going well in your life. Like, you need to, like, turn your perspective to that. But what I realized when I was going through that, like, yeah, things were going well, but I couldn't get out of that funk. Like, it was mm-hmm. just like this mist. Like, I explained it. Like, I did an interview with Uplift. Basically, they're like, they interview entrepreneurs, like, doing things and, like, mm-hmm. setting up their basically, like, startups and stuff like that. And I mentioned to them, like, when this started, like, happening with social media, it felt like I was Spider-Man, right, at first. And then all of a sudden, I started turning into Venom. Like, this toxic,
that makes sense,
this toxic thing just kind of coming over me. And I was still, like, doing everything I was doing, but it wasn't me. It was weird. Mm-hmm. But then I started, it was like I was looking through, like, a very foggy and dirty glass. But as soon as I got off of social media and started focusing more on, like, what I wanted to do, what I wanted to work on, patient care and stuff that I was still working on, but, again, without the cloudiness of comparing myself to social media stuff and all that. So once I got off, I had one day where I didn't post, and I was like, okay, the world didn't collapse and I'm still alive.
Yeah.
Okay. And then it was 2 days and it was 3 days and 4 days that I didn't post. And Shante, when I tell you, that it was probably one of the most relieving things. And it sounds weird, right? Like, bro, you're just posting on social media. Like, you're just creating videos. No, how bad can that be?
I hear you.
But when you're putting yourself out there like that, creating content, you're basically putting yourself out there, right? You're
every day
exposing yourself. Yeah, it's not. You know, there are some other spectrums where are worse in a sense, but you're putting yourself out there for everybody to judge. Yeah, you can say, yeah, you know, if you really are strong-willed or if you understand who you are, like, that wouldn't affect you. Bull crap.
No way. It's bullshit. That's, if you're a sociopath, it won't affect you. Otherwise, you care.
Right, like, you care what other people think, right? It's just part of human nature. So, and that starts to affect you. So, yeah, it took me 4 days of not having Instagram where I was like, all right, this is what I need. And I even contemplated deleting my whole Instagram. I was like, you know what? I'm going to delete this. You know, if this is really something that is meant to be, it'll happen again. And I was talking to my fiance and she's like, are you crazy? You know how hard you work to build?
Yes.
And to me, it felt like a material thing. Like, it was this thing that kind of not destroyed me, but got me to the point where I almost didn't like who I was. So why would I keep that around?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But in that same token, that same product, that same experience, that same thing that kind of hurt me, I also helped a lot of people and I met some really, really cool people. So she's like, look at the positive stuff that you've done too. And I've also reached out and people reached out to me, hey, don't erase it. Like, you know, we're here for you. And yeah, it's people like that don't really know you, but you know, it feels cool to be like, you know, there's other people that really care. They don't just care about the content, but they actually care about you as a person.
They care about you.
You know?
Absolutely, my dude. Absolutely.
So
how'd you get over that? What happened next?
So after those 4 days, I created a video. I was like, listen, not to kind of scare you guys, but I'm going to, you know, hop off the social media train for a little bit. Been going through, and I was trying to be open because I think a lot of people could, you know, help from that. Like, hey, like, I was experiencing this.
For sure.
This was going on. And the best way for me to kind of deal with it is kind of like separate myself from it and work on myself and work on certain things that I wanted to work on. So I started doing – so one of the first things that I did was get off social media. But what I needed to understand is I was working so much that it wasn't smart that way I was working. Like when you're a business owner, there's a point in time where you're just like burning the candle at both ends. But you can only do that for so long. And at that point, I was like, okay, I got to reestablish what my schedule looks like. So what I did is I cut 2 days, or not cut days, I cut back a few hours on 2 days, and I started doing martial arts, which to me is like the movement meditation. It's kind of like I'm still kind of getting my butt whooped and like exercising and stuff like
I
that
love it.
At the end of the day and like where I'm tired. But that's the type of thing that gives me energy back. It allows me to kind of really work on myself, work on a craft other than what I'm doing on a day-to-day. So that helped me. Obviously, going back into what I wanted to do from then on. Like, what's the type of practitioner I wanted to be? What's the type of experience that I want to provide admiring you? Without having the distraction of other businesses or other people or other stuff, what's the experience that I want to provide? And instead of what happened was I was trying to find this information elsewhere when I had people that I was working on that I could have just asked them. And that's exactly what I did.
Yeah.
I said, listen, like, this is what I'm trying to do. Like, what do you like that I'm doing? What don't you like? And I got awesome feedback. And then that's what I started doing. Basically started really working internally, not only in myself, but in the business. And yeah. And then I was 7 months. It took me 7 months. Right around like February or March, where I was like, and I started getting little itches, but believe it or not, it was really weird. Like anytime I would go on Instagram and just open it, I would just immediately get anxiety. So I was like, all right, not doing that. And then little by little, you know, I'll do like little Insta story or something here, something there. But at the end of the day, I liked educating. So I knew I was going to go back. I just didn't know when. I was giving myself enough time. And 7 months seemed like it was a good enough time. And at that point, I was at a good place. And here we are.
So good. And how's it been being back on?
Awesome. But I gave myself some barrier, right? I said I wasn't going to post all the time. So now I post maybe once a week, maybe twice, three times a month. So I'm doing more blogs. So I'm still being creative in the sense of creating content, but now I'm being a little bit more smarter about it. I'm not trying to just become this content machine, just freaking, you know, pushing out all this video and stuff like that. But now it's being a little bit more mindful. I think it's mindful and intentional about what I'm doing, both with content and everything else. So, yeah, so basically if people like what I like to share or like what I share, cool. If they don't, that's okay too. And just like little by little, just sharing helpful tips and then not really caring too much about what other people are doing. It's hard. I'm not gonna lie, it's hard.
Yeah.
Like, again, I still don't like kind of scroll down my feed. It's just, it's really like I go in, post, and leave. Because, again, I don't want to get to that same cycle of, and it's weird. It really is. It's really interesting and weird at the same time how something so simple can be so powerful. But it is. I call it the double-edged sword. Like, it's something so useful, like social media, but it can be so harmful when used inappropriately. It's almost like, again, I'll create the Spider-Man analogy. Like, with great power comes great responsibility. I'm not sure if that's from Spider-Man, but it's from some superhero movie.
I love it.
But that is, that couldn't be more true. Like, as a business owner, you have a lot of power, a lot of autonomy, but you have a lot of responsibility. As a social media influencer or somebody that's trying to do education, yeah, you get this high volume of impact, but you also have a lot of responsibility and accountability on your end. So the best advice that I can give somebody trying to do influencer, trying to do education, is provide value first. Forget about anything else. Forget about views, likes, and all. There's still accounts that provide a ton of content but have 1,000 views or 1,000 followers. Doesn't mean they're they're any better than the person, than me, right? Or I'm any better than them because I have 30,000 followers. It just happened that I was at the right place at the right time. The engagement algorithm were to my favor. So creating value first, make sure that you're doing it for the right reason and not just to create this sense of persona, which is okay. It's cool. Like, you get to be this person that people look up to. You get to be this person that people learn from, but never lose sight. And if at any point you feel like you do, I think it's imperative. I think it's super important to reanalyze. And I'm very glad that I had the strength, I guess, to really pull away. But I think, because I think anybody at I think anybody at that level, again, I wasn't like 200,000 followers, but
it doesn't matter.
Somebody at that level could have said, you know, and I had it. People would say, like, what are you talking about? Like, you have so many views. You have people contacting you. I'm like, yes, I did. But the reward from the risk of me losing myself as a person was not what I was willing to lose. So, you know,
it's not worth it.
So I guess that's the biggest takeaway. And there you go.
That's huge, my man. Thank you. You guys listening, I wanted to bring him on. I think this is something that's really important to talk about. I see it a lot. I know that it exists. You know, I'm hearing so much of my own story in terms of like, to post every day, it's a lot. And actually, when I got rid of my daily maestroisms, I went down to daily-ish, it was huge because I was posting twice a day every day. And I was just like, the day that I didn't do that, I was like, oh my God. Like, one, like you said, like the world didn't end. And also you'd feel so free. And like, it is really just, it can be all encompassing. It's all consuming of everything. And it's very easy to compare yourself to other people. And I mean, like you said, it tends to be a highlight reel, right? So you think like, oh, I'm not doing as well, or like that person's doing so much better. And just like, there is so much good that can come out of social media. And you guys know that I'm the first to sing its praises. And I think that it's phenomenal. But like Andy said, there is the other side of it. And it takes a lot of strength to be like, I got to take a step back. But if that's you, if any of what he's saying resonates with you, you know, reach out to Andy, reach out to any of us, but especially, you know, I think this is a really valuable resource because he's been there. Reach out to me if you want, for sure. I love talking to you guys. I give you my email all the time. Like, reach out for sure. But you want someone that's been through it, experienced it, had the strength to come out the other end and is still working through it. Andy is your guy. And I think that it's really, really important to share that story. because that's the real, that's real talk, right? There's two sides to everything. It's not just like, oh, it's amazing and social media is the best and your life will be perfect. And if you want to grow a business, just go on social media. Like, there's other shit to it. So
businesses were around way before social media. So, so and there's plenty of people that are not on social media and have a great business, you know? So
exactly.
Is it a great tool? Cool. Can you do, like, can you impact a lot, whether your business or other people? Absolutely. But I think, I don't think it shouldn't affect your quality of life. It shouldn't affect the your vision of yourself and your vision of your business just because you're trying to get a few more people through the door. It's never worth it. I think that's a big takeaway for me, right? Because it came to a point where I was trying to get in front of so many people and trying to get, you know, really bring value to so many people so that they can come visit me and I can be able to work on them. But at the end of the day, what I started realizing is the grass isn't always green on the other side, right? Just because you're providing all this content doesn't mean people. First of all, doesn't mean people are gonna come to you. Just because they tap, just because they double tap on your video and on your picture doesn't mean they can care less about you.
exactly.
And sometimes because we're chasing that, we lose sight of those people that actually care about us: our patients, our family, you know, our friends, our coworkers.
Yes.
You know,
the people right there.
Our mentors that probably are telling you, hey, like giving you some good advice, and you're thinking, yeah, you know, I'm going to go this way just because, you know, but so sometimes, and, you know, sometimes too, and I'm that type of person too. Sometimes I kind of have to go through something to understand, which was a big part of, which is why I'm grateful. I'm very grateful that this happened. And I think it had to happen that way. There was no other way for me to kind of learn my lesson. But, and I'm able to kind of now amplify that and like help other people through that. But, I mean, you heard this before. More is not better. Better is better. And goes with movement. That goes with business. And that goes with definitely with relationships. It doesn't matter how many people you know, but it's those people that you do know that know you. Damn.
Yeah. Look. Write it down.
Jesus. What's going on? What are you doing to me, Shante?
Gotten maestrified, my dude.
Seriously, relationships are really important. That's the true currency. Relationships, not cash. Cash can be burnt, and at one day to another, that dollar that we have in our hand can mean nothing. But if you have relationships, if you have people that care, that support you, that's really going to be that's really going to tell you the type of person that you are.
Amen, man. He pulled it back full circle. It is all about connection, and that's one of the things that help, you know, becomes a slippery slope with social media, because it can be like a fake connection,
right?
Like you can have amazing connection, or you can just have that instant dopamine hit because you see likes and you see views, but not necessarily any kind of true deeper connections, which I know you also have, because like you said, people were reaching out. So now it's just a matter of kind of taking a step back and like you're doing, finding yourself, figuring out what you really want to be doing, and then go from there. Before I let you go, Andy,
yes,
is there anything you want to, I'm looking at the time here.
Yeah.
Is there anything you want to leave the people with?
Yes. I want to thank you, Shante Cofield, for even before you knew who I was, you were helping me throughout this whole journey, right? I think it takes a special person to realize where a profession is going and where an industry or stuff are going and to really speak about it. It takes a lot of strength. It takes a lot of courage to go against the grain. So I thank you for that.
Thank you, my dear.
I thank your audience, and I thank those people that allow us to do what we do, because we can love what we do, but if there's not people that are just as happy with the service that we're providing, then we're just we're just nothing, really. We're nothing with the people that
we're spinning the wheels.
And then to anybody out there that is listening and that's having a hard time, whether through school, listen, it gets better, push through, and really find yourself. Don't think about the finish line. Think about all those little things that you've learned, the little nuggets, right? Those nuggets are what you're going to learn, what you're going to take away, whether it's that one time in class that professor said something, or a connection that you've made through one of your rotations. Those are the valuable things. That piece of paper is just your foot in the door. But those relationships and those little nuggets, those little things that you paid attention to that people didn't, that's what separates you as a practitioner, as a coach, as a provider. Anybody doing business, first of all, even Warren Buffett, even the biggest guys made mistakes, and even they had mentors and all that stuff. So make sure that you're seeking out help. Make sure that you're learning. Make sure that you take it easy on yourself, because I tell people all the time, I am not a business person. I just happen to be a provider that has to learn business to be able to provide the type of service that I have to provide, or that I love to provide, should I say. But with that being said, there was a lot of mistakes and a lot of stuff that I had to learn, both the hard way and both with investment. And then what's the last thing? The last thing is just thank you for having me on the show. Like, again, I appreciate there's a lot of people you could have brought on. And there's a lot of people that you will bring on, and I'm very, very, very grateful to be able to be one of the little dots on this podcast.
A big dot with a big voice and a lot to share, my dude, a lot to share. So thank you for taking the time. You guys listening, link up with him, right? He's all about connection. That's going to be at @AF_move, or you can email him, Andy@MyoRenew, MyoRenew.com. He's on that branding game so strong. I will link that all in the show notes for you guys. Andy, thank you again for coming on, sharing your story, sharing your wisdom, dropping the bombs, dropping all the quotes. Thank you.
No problem. Truly. I appreciate it. Thank you. Inspired by the maestro herself.
My dude, number one. And you guys out there listening, thank you. I know you could have been doing anything and you chose to listen to us. And for that, we are extremely, extremely and endlessly grateful. For real. Mm-hmm. Thank you. I got one more ask for you because I gotta. If you like the episode, I would love it if you left a review. I actually just hit 100. You guys are fucking awesome. Yeah, you guys are amazing. So I just hit 100 5-star reviews. So if you like this, if you have already reviewed it, thank you. Like, you guys are incredible. If you like it and you haven't reviewed it yet, left any stars, that'd be awesome. Preferably 5. If you want to leave a little message, those are dope too. I go and check those. It sucks that I can't write back to you guys, but I read every single one and they are amazing. And thank you, thank you, thank you. All right, enough asks from me, enough talking from me. I'm gonna officially sign it out this time. Until next time, friends. Andy and Maestro